Darkness, silent night, holy night. No one knows what comes next. All is calm, all is bright. That's the first verse. Of course, it's the same. In the second verse, silent night, holy night. This time you've got the shepherds. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Again, picking up some of that story that we've heard read from the Bible this evening. And then in the last verse, silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. And that sort of sums it up. And that's what we're just going to think about for a few minutes right now. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. We're just going to think a little bit about that. Son of God, love's pure light. And we just heard a bit about that in that reading from John's Gospel. It's a bit of a funny time of year to do this, to think about the light, because Friday, of course, was the day with the least numbers of hours of light, wasn't it? Way back in June, you had 16 hours and 38 minutes of daylight, but on Friday, you only had 7 hours and 49 minutes. But don't worry, in another 6 months' time, you'll be back to having more than double the light we had today. There'll be much more light in 6 months' time. So here we are at this time of year when it does get dark pretty quick. Maybe the children only just get home from school before it's dark. Maybe you're used already having to journey home from work, turning the car headlights on there in the dark. And then what did we do this evening? Well, we came to a perfectly ordinary building where there's electric lights. But we decided not to turn them on. Sounds a bit daft. On a dark night, we didn't bother turning the lights on. We went to the more laborious effort of lighting lots of flickering little candles, which are pretty hard to see by, even though there must be, 50 or so lit in this place. Here we are, sitting more or less in the dark. And we were hearing in one of our readings right at the beginning that Carol read from us in Isaiah. There's this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 of those who are living in the dark, those who are living in darkness. And being in the dark's not just difficult, but there's all sorts of things that sort of make us think, doesn't it? I guess we're much more likely to get lost in the dark, aren't we? Whether you're journeying on foot or in a car, we're more likely to get lost because it's just harder to navigate, harder to see. It's easier to get disorientated. In the dark, you're limited to what you can see in your headlights as you're driving along, or by the light of a street lamp or whatever it is as you're walking. Anything beyond that light is completely unknown, isn't it? And when you think about that, that's a little bit creepy perhaps, a bit strange to have all those things just outside of your vision that you have no idea about. There's all kinds of dangers there in the dark. Me and my boys walked to church this evening and Elliot stepped in a really big puddle. It wasn't to be seen in the dark. Pitch black, you just hear the splash. Those dangers, that's pretty mild. But other things, we have no idea. Sometimes we can be frightened. Perhaps you're someone who likes to have a little bit of light even when you're going to sleep, even in the night. Well, that's picked up in that prophecy of Isaiah. For those who live in the gloom and distress, it says, those living in this place, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, before we get to that, they're still there in the darkness. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. And Isaiah pictures these people living in the gloom, distressed, frightened, under the shadow of death. And Isaiah tells them then something's going to happen that will change all that. Light will come. Those people living in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, light has shined. That's how the prophecy goes. Light has dawned. And then it carries on telling us, for unto us a child is born. And so as we think of those Christmas stories, some of those readings we've heard already this evening, it reminds us, doesn't it, of those things in the Christmas story. But perhaps it can resonate in our own hearts as well. We might not be literally afraid of the dark, but we use the expression, don't we? We may go to a doctor's appointment. We may have some test at hospital. And a friend might say, well, how does it go? How did it go? And you might reply to them, I've no idea, I'm still in the dark. We don't mean that literally, but we just mean it about the unknown, about things we're scared about, things that frighten us, things that are confusing us. We can feel in the dark, maybe with personal situations that we have going on, maybe with situations that we've prayed about already that are happening in the world that make it feel quite a dark period of time. Well, here in these verses in the Bible, we're reminded that light has come. For to us, a child has been born. And then as we were looking, in those familiar Christmas readings, there are these lights that shine in the dark, aren't there? We have the story of the shepherds, and they're out in their fields, and suddenly light shines. The glory of these angels who come from heaven with this good news of glad tidings for all people. It comes with light that shines. For the wise men on their journey, guided by a star. And apart from that, in the dark of the night sky. And so we remember at this time of year, Jesus, the light of the world. That was a thing that Jesus said about himself. He said later on when he was a grown up, he said, I am the light of the world. And in that last reading that Steve read for us, in John's gospel, John the writer picks up that same theme of this light that has come. Now when we think of that, we perhaps need to distance ourselves a little bit from any Christmas cards we might have received where Jesus is glowing in the dark. That didn't really happen. That's not mentioned in the Bible. Mary and Jesus, they didn't have halos round their head. He wasn't the light of the world because he was glowing. No, he was just an ordinary man. And it seems a lot of people could pass him in the streets and not notice anything special about him. But it wasn't that. He was there, a normal man. Look just like us. Just normal. But he really was the light of the world. And here in this verse we just read, it talks about him. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It talks about Jesus. But before he came into the world, he was still there. He still existed. He was the Son of God. It calls him here the Word. And he was with God, and he was God. And he, a person, was in the beginning with God. Even before the world was made, he was there. The Son of God, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. And then it carries on in our reading. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Again, that takes you back to the beginning of the Bible. And you might know the first couple of words in it, where we read that God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was. He created the sun. He created the stars. Everything was made by Jesus, the Son of God. He was the one who brought about these sources of light that we see. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about God dwelling in light. It's a bit hard to imagine what heaven is like. Here's a painting someone's done. But this idea of there being this dazzling light. God is light, we read in the Bible. He's perfect and pure and dazzling. Well, he was there. He was the light. But then he came into this world. It tells us in John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And those two words, life and light, do fit together, don't they? Even in our own experience, perhaps even you might remember it from your science lessons and the like. How fundamental light is in this world. We need the light for things to grow, for crops, for trees to be growing in this world. And through that, there's life for us too, in that physical way. Well, here John picks up that same theme. In him was life. He's the source of life. And the life was the light of men, of people. He's the one who can bring light to all. John carries on in those verses. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. As we think about Jesus, the light of the world, as he was born at Christmas time, John wants to make us think about how do we react to that. I'm sure you all remember playing in the garden, and you've dug up a rock, turned something over. I know it's a very large size, maybe that doesn't freak you out. When you turn over a rock, and the wood lice, and the beetles go scurrying into the darkness. Well, a little bit later in John's gospel, there's a man called Nicodemus who visits Jesus in the dark. And Jesus speaks to him about the same thing, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness. And sometimes when we think about Jesus, actually that can sometimes freak us out a little bit. That can sometimes disturb us a little bit. And that's why it's important not just to think of Jesus as the baby in the manger, but all that he grew up to become, all that he said and did in his life. He was the one who brought light into the world. Well, how do we react to that? Perhaps we can be like those bugs that go scurrying away. And perhaps we don't mind thinking about a cuddly baby in a manger. But when we think about some of the things that Jesus said and did, and how he went to the cross and died there to forgive our sins, sometimes we can get a bit offended by that. I think, oh, I'm not right sure about that. I don't like the way that makes me feel. And we can scurry away from the light. What are you like in the morning when it's time to get up? Are you someone who just goes up to the curtains and pulls them open, letting the sunlight shine in? Or are you someone who hides under the pillow, wants it to be dark a little bit longer? Well, how are we when it comes to Jesus? When his light shines, are we those who turn and want to learn more and to absorb more and to see more of the truth that is found in Jesus? Or are we hiding our heads under the duvet cover and say, no. I don't want to know any more about Jesus. I don't want to find it out. John tells us in this gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John was one of the disciples, and he writes about Jesus and says, the Word, the Son of God, he became flesh, he became a baby, then he grew up, he became a man, and he dwelt among us. Jesus lived among us, and John and the other disciples watched him. And John says, we beheld his glory. No, he wasn't glowing. He didn't have a halo around his head. But John says, we saw something in him. We heard the things he said. We saw the way he behaved. We did see his glory. We saw that light coming from him. The one who's come from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this Christmas, as we sit here this evening just with candlelight, maybe it's a healthy reminder for us that as we think about that Christmas story, not to forget the light that shines, a light that's there for every one of us. As it said, that he's come into the world for all men, for all people, a light that shines. So make sure you don't leave Jesus in the manger. As we think of him being born at Christmas time 2,000 years ago, why not, like John did, discover a bit more about him? We've got some little portions of the Bible, just one little book that was written by one of the disciples. If you've never read much more about Jesus' life, or if these things about Jesus' birth are a bit news to you, well, read a bit more. And maybe you'll be like John, and you'll behold his glory. You know, on these cold, wintry days that we have at the moment, it's lovely, isn't it, when the sun comes out and the sun shines. And you might be all cold there waiting for the bus or whatever it is, and the sun starts to shine. And you can sort of turn yourself towards it, can't you? Sort of, and just absorb a bit of the warmth that's radiating from the sun. Well, as we picture that, do we turn to Jesus and recognize the truth and grace that can be found in him? And we turn right towards him and want to absorb more, want to discover more from him. He came full of grace and truth. He came speaking the exact truth. No lies, not even a white lie, not any fabrications of the truth or whatever politicians call it. No, he came with full of truth for us to discover. And yet he came full of grace. And as we think of that, the truth that he brings can sometimes make us uncomfortable. Jesus in his words can point out the things we've done wrong, the wrong ways we've behaved, the wrong ways we've treated other people, horrible things we've said and thought. He's the one full of truth. He knows all that. And yet he comes full of grace. He came as a baby so that he could die on the cross for us, to forgive our sins, to bring that grace, that undeserved love from himself to us. And so at Christmas, I hope it's been lovely this evening and to read of these things and to just think about that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. But don't leave it there. Carry on. Find out more about why he came, why the angels sang, why a star was in the sky to guide people to him. Why did God send his son? Well, he sent his son because he loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. At the beginning, we thought of that wondrous gift that God has given, his son. And those wondrous gifts that can come to us through Jesus, our sins forgiven, and everlasting life with him. May we discover Jesus, the light of the world, this Christmas. We're going to sing a final carol, or we're going to pray after that, and there's going to be refreshments. to close. So let's stand and sing our last carol, Silent Night, Holy Night.